was Operation Christmas Child. I remember when Carol Banta resigned, and we weren't going to do that anymore. And now she says, I'm back. And if you want to be a part of Operation Christmas Child, there are some things available in the back, in the fellowship room back there that you can put in a box or buy a box or get a box or talk to Carol Banta if you've got questions about Operation Christmas Child. You're trying to get that elusive shark down there, aren't you, in Florida? Oh, Kathy Anderson is taking over, or kind of, okay, if you got questions, you still have a chance to talk to Carol today, but when she's gone, whatever, you got Kathy Anderson you can visit with about that if you need more information as well. And just on the very back page of this, I just want you to know that this was written by someone here in the church who remains anonymous. The little poem in the back, I just want you to make sure that you know what that is. It's not anything that comes that I took off someplace and put on the bulletin. This is a personal little poem from someone here at Harbor of Joy. So that's just, I think, very special to have this on here. So that's all the announcements that I am going to make. Let us just pray, and I'll turn it back over to the praise team. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and you get all the glory, Lord, for every time we get together on a Sunday morning, as well as anything else that takes place. We want to represent who you are, Lord. It's not about ourselves, but it's really who you are, because you're the one that has changed our lives to be more like you, and therefore, that's really the honey for the bees. That this is what attracts people, is that they see the love of Jesus Christ, and they see the friendliness that is there, and that it's just people's hearts that are different today than what they once were, maybe many years ago or just shortly, who knows. But we pray, Lord, for those that are healing from different kinds of health issues. Be with those that are also dealing with things that are outside of their control today that just happens in life. It's not their fault, and it's tough to be a caretaker. And oftentimes we forget about the caretakers. We just pray for the one who we get a name about that has had surgery or is in a hospital or broken bones or dealing with something. But Lord, it affects a lot of people. It's not just one person. It affects a lot of people in that person's life. We just pray, Lord, that your grace is sufficient. And we don't even know what that even means. But we just want to know that these people know that they're loved and that they're cared for. And that it's only through your strength and through your help in which that can be done. And so may you give them the energy, give them the encouragement that only you can give in days and times like this. And so we just thank you for this day as we come to a close, as far as for me and my Sharon and my wife being here, that you have everything in your hands. It's all under control because everything's in your hands. And so I just thank you for the time that you've given to us to be here, be a part of this church, and for the friends that you have given to us through the years as well. And just want people to know that, hey, it doesn't stop here. It will continue, but it'll be different. That's all I can say. So I just thank you, Lord, that you've made this all possible in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, is there a call to worship? Yeah. I did that on purpose because I usually forget many times. The call to worship. Thank you for reminding me of doing that. It comes from Hebrews chapter 13. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?
Princes and paupers. and winners, saints and sinners, for one they see His face, and we all bow down. Kings will surrender their crowns and worship Jesus, for He is our love, unfailing love. He is our love of God. Summer and winter, the mountains and the rivers whisper the Savior's name. Awesome and holy, friend to the holy, forever love Him bring. And we all fall down. Kings will surrender their crowns and worship Jesus, for He is our love, unfailing love.
The responsive reading comes from Romans, but it begins like this: For we know for He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many people. Christ Jesus is He who died, yes? Rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. But in all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Barbara Jo is going to come and sing a special song today, and I believe Julie Jones is on the piano. Thank you, girls, ladies, women.
Can I say thanks for the things You have done for me? Things so undeserved, yet You give to prove Your love for me. The voices of a million angels could not express my gratitude. All that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to Thee. To God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. This
I just have a little something to say also. The Lord surely knew we would need a pastor as faithful as you. You have the love of God's word and a heart for his flock. You gave of yourself and you stood on the rock. You made us think. You preached love and forgiveness and a way to salvation. You made us laugh. You taught us many things about God. Remember all of the great times we've had together? You have loved us, listened to us, and cared for us. And you have comforted us when times of loss and sadness come to us. Our memories of our time together, you and Sharon, we will keep close in our hearts. Thank you for your love and care. To say goodbye is very hard.
Thanks, Barbara Jo. I can see God's hand in all that's taken place here today like never before. You'll find out as we go here. But I do invite you to stand as we hear God's word today that I'm going to begin with before I meander down another road. But Genesis chapter 33, 10b through verse 11. So it's very short. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God. Now that you have received me favorably, please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need. And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words, even though they're not many. There's a lot of meaning that stands behind these words, not only at this time when it was written, but even for us today, as well as the message today. We thank you for what we're going to hear today, because it's your word and how you have led, and help us to keep our eyes on Jesus each and every day. We pray in his precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Or some of you, if you didn't think you got to stand long enough, you could still stand if you want, but you don't have to do that. These words I read from Genesis, I just want you to know that it wasn't always like this between Jacob and Esau, what I just read to you. It wasn't always like this. They parted ways years earlier over a Big Mac attack and a birthright. A Big Mac attack. It means he was hungry. Somebody was really hungry and gave up his birthright. And his name is Esau. The one who cooked the meal was his brother, Jacob. If you remember, throughout Scripture, you're going to always find that a person believes in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a key phrase. Over and over, it says in the Scriptures. That is the God in which to follow. Jesus Christ comes from that ancestry of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and going forth. Remember, Isaac was taken by Abraham to Mount Moriah to be sacrificed, his only son. And yet God provided another ram to take the place of Isaac and set him free. And so we're going to hear a little bit today from his word that Isaac's dad, who is Jacob, Esau's dad, Isaac, his dad looked at Esau as his favorite son. They're twins. Esau and Jacob were born on the same time, but it was Esau that came out of the womb first. It was easy for his dad to figure out which one was his favorite son because Esau came out hairy. They didn't name him hairy, but he was hairy in having a lot of hair. And it wasn't just on his head, it was kind of like all over his body. Jacob came out second, right after Esau, and so he's the second born, but guess who he was a favorite to? His mama. And his mama's name is Rebecca. And so Rebecca always looked at her son because he always stayed close by to her. He liked staying close to the tents where they lived in, and he learned how to cook from his mom, and he became her favorite. So Rebecca's favorite is Jacob, and Isaac's favorite was Esau because he liked to hunt. Figure that one out. Esau was more of an outdoorsy kind of a guy. And he became the favorite of his dad because he would bring home the wild game, the wild food that would come from Esau's hunting, and Isaac just loved wild meat. Well, what happened between these two brothers? Were they separated? Were they parted ways? The Bible doesn't tell us at what time in the lives or how old they were when this took place, but there was one time when Esau came in from being gone all day from hunting. He came home and he said, "I am just hungrier than a bear." He didn't really say that, but I put that in there. He's very hungry. That's where he had a Big Mac attack. And Jacob goes, "Oh, my wonderful brother, I will make you something to eat really quick." And so he, as he's cooking this meal, as he's really hungry, his brother's really hungry, Jacob brings out like, "Well, how about, you know, I'll make this food for you if you would give me your birthright," because he's the firstborn son. Well, it didn't happen at that time. But later on, he does give up his birthright and gives it to Jacob. And it's through that little thing, it becomes a bigger thing later on. Because later on in life, Isaac is somewhat like you guys who've gotten older and your eyesight is not the same. You know what that's like? Glasses are there to help, but if you get macular degeneration, there's nothing that anyone can do for you, and it gets to a point in place where you are not able to see people. You might see shadows, but you don't know who they are. My dad had that when he was in his 80s. And we had to get to the point where he said, "Dad," and he would go by the sound of the voice so he'd know who he was talking to. But sometimes he would say, who is that?" He said, I just see a shadow. The voice sounds familiar, but I don't know who the person is." And you tell him who the person is, you go like, "Okay, yeah, that's who, okay." And so he lost his eyesight. We think of Isaac, when he got older, he could not see very good. His wife, Rebecca, knew this. And she knew that at some point in time, Isaac is going to give his blessing to one of his sons with the birthright. And so Rebecca knows this, and she says, "Jacob, come here. I want you to put on Isaac's clothing. Put on his clothes." You know, and Jacob's probably going to go like, "What in the world is this all about?" Because she knows that her husband, Isaac, when he gives his blessing, he's going to want to have that son close to him, and he's going to smell the clothing that Jacob is wearing, who is Esau's clothing, and so he's going to go like, "Yeah, this is Isaac, but the voice doesn't sound like it's Esau's." And so Rebecca, who knows the kind of good food to make, she makes it for Isaac, who cannot see. And then she tells Jacob, because Jacob's concerned, he's going like, "Hey, I'm not like my brother because my brother's hairy and I'm smooth-skinned." And so Rebecca's got this all covered. She goes, come here, and she gives him some goat skin to put on his neck and to put on his hands, maybe up his arms. And so when Jacob goes to his dad, Isaac, with the food and with his brother's clothes on and having the dead goat skins on his neck, that's when Isaac, when he touches his son, who is really Jacob, he believes he's touching and he's smelling his favorite son, Esau. And so he gives his blessing to Jacob. Esau later on finds out how important his birthright was, and he just gave it away to his brother. And that's when they started to part ways. Esau later on learned that his dad had told Jacob he needs to marry someone who's not a Canaanite. And so then Esau, when he heard that, guess what he did? He goes, well, if my brother could not marry a Canaanite, I'm going to marry a Canaanite. And he did. Out of spite, because he did not like Jacob, his brother, anymore. So long story short, they separate ways. But both Jacob and Esau have the same grandpa. Do you know who the grandpa is? Abraham. Esau married one of Ishmael's daughters. Ishmael is the one who was born. The father is Abraham, but he was born, his mom was who? Hagar. Jacob was born by his mom. Well, of course, it's probably Rebecca now. But his grandma would be Sarah. And God had told Abram, you know, it wasn't Abraham right away, it was Abram. And he said, Abram, I want you to go to a place that you don't know where you're going, but I'll make sure you get there. That's all the information he had. Later on, God changes his name to Abraham, and Abraham becomes the father of faith of the Jewish nation, or the Hebrew people, where the Jews come from. And he said that he would be numerous, more numerous than the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky. And here he is, he's 75 years old when he's given that promise by God. And so they've been living in Canaan, which is the promised land type of a place. And Sarah is kind of saying, like, Abram, I think God got this one wrong, and you need to have a child if you're going to have any descendants, because I'm beyond my age. I cannot have kids. But there's Hagar, who is an Egyptian. You have a child with her. And so Sarai did not have the patience to wait for God's promise given to her husband. It took the answer from God until Abraham was 100 years old. It took him 25 years before Sarah became pregnant. You know how old she was? A lot older than my wife. She was 90 when she became pregnant. Impossible in that day to think that she would become pregnant and have a child, but she did, from Abraham, and they had a son, and that son is Isaac. After he already had a son with Hagar, who is Ishmael. So as time goes on in history, what we find is God gave the promise that the Messiah was always going to come through the ancestry of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Messiah is going to come through that family line. Ishmael, Esau, came another nation, but that is where you find the Arabs and the Muslims today. And so there's that animosity between the Muslims and the Jews even to this day. It goes way back here. So I just want to say that the message today is called Once Upon a Time. You have probably said those words a few times to your kids or grandkids. Once upon a time, you're telling them a story. And there's things that happened in life. I want you to just think about your lives today. Once upon a time, what's happened in your life over the years? Well, you were born. You went to school. You left home. You probably found somebody that you said, I want to marry her or marry him. You had kids. You bought a home. And then you became grandparents. And that's taking a very broad paintbrush, and that's how life is, isn't it? The only thing some of you have left to do is to die. And you don't know if you're going to end up in a nursing home or if you're going to end up in a hospital. You don't know if you're going to fall dead while you're mowing the lawn. You don't know if you're going to fall dead in the shower in your house that you live in. You don't know these things. I don't know these things. But the day is going to come. Once upon a time. Today, I retire from Harbor of Joy Lutheran in Milford, Iowa. I never thought that this day would ever come. Turned 70 yesterday. I never thought I'd ever see 70. Jesus was supposed to come back before I turned 70. Did you know that? He didn't. Still here. I always thought that I was going to burn out for Jesus, but never rust out in my life. I just figured I'd be doing this till I die. But I'm going like, that's not going to happen that way. I'm retiring, and I don't know what retirement is like. I've never done this before. I've given resignation messages type of a thing at two different churches in my life. But you're the first one to hear a retirement message. And I don't know what I'm doing with that. But I do want it to base on what we hear in Scripture, what has gone on once upon a time, and looking at here today. But I'm going to go back into my life just a little bit, because once upon a time, I was young and I was really dumb. I was wet behind the ears, as they say, which just means you're just a young, dumb kid. And that's who I was. I thought I knew everything. And I was really a greenhorn. I go back into my college days. I got out of the military, got into the service, and I ended up buying a keg of beer for a college party, which made me a bootlegger. I figured that out after it all happened, because then the word came out of saying, you know, if the cops raid this party, they're going to find out who bought the keg of beer. I said, I'm not even going to be there. They said, it doesn't matter. You had to sign for it, didn't you? I go, yeah, I did. Well, thankfully, I mean, the party never got raided, but that was on my mind all the time. I go, like, great, now I'm a bootlegger. Because I was 21 when I went to college, and my roommates were not 21. So they go right away, Tim can buy us what we need for the party. And I wanted to be liked, and I wanted to make friends, and I wanted to be looked upon by my roommates as a nice guy, and a guy that will provide them what they could not get themselves. So there I was, once upon a time, a bootlegger. Once upon a time when When we were first married, I called the babysitter to change a messy diaper from one of my kids. I couldn't do it. I would puke if I had to do it. I would throw up. I couldn't handle it. And so I called up a babysitter saying, could you come over and help me out? I can't change this diaper. And she came over and did it just like that, and I was very happy. Sharon was gone, so I had to do it. Or either one of my girls had to stay in that dirty diaper till Sharon got back home, which would have taken a couple of days. So I didn't do that. But I was really glad to see Sharon when she came back home. And then she'd ask right away, well, how'd you do with the diaper changing? Oh, fine. It was great. No problem there, dear. And then she finds out, I called the babysitter. And then she said something else. I won't go into it. I know, as even once upon a time, as being a pastor in a church, over the years, I always took the church first over my wife and my kids. And the church became my new mistress because I was doing God's work. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. Well, I'm doing God's work here. This is more important than my wife and my kids. No, I get it backwards. And so I'm sorry that I wasn't the best dad, even though I was a pastor. Once upon a time, we moved from Dickinson, North Dakota, to Spirit Lake, Iowa, because we have a daughter that lives here. And some grandkids. You were just a little pipsqueak when we came here. Now look at you. You are a pancake eater. Sometimes. But we came to Harbor of Joy, and I eventually became your pastor. It's not that I didn't come to be a pastor here. But we found more here at Harbor of Joy and more than what we ever thought because of you. But we had to start all over again, moving here from another state. We had to find new friends. We didn't know anybody. We didn't know you. And my plan was I didn't really want to get to know you. I'd rather be off to the side. I'll be here Sunday morning. But it doesn't work that way. And so some of you are really good friends, and some of you are acquaintances. And it's just kind of the way it goes. But the longer I stay here, or we stay here, it gets more difficult not to love you more. So that's why I'm glad 70 has come to just say I'm retiring. And the bad part is that you don't find the word retirement in the Bible. Nowhere does it say you're to retire. It just says you're supposed to burn out and serve the Lord no matter what age you get to be. So my main thought today as I think about this message, it's once upon a time, I think about those in this church who aren't with us anymore. And that's the direction I want to go now. I think of Jeff Kyle's wife, Bea. My first week here, starting as your pastor, I had her funeral. I didn't even get to know her. I didn't even get to see her. But I got to meet Jeff, got to visit with Jeff, and as soon as Jeff said, now here, he's telling me how to do the funeral service. Now what I want you to do, just when you get to the end, when everything is said and done, I just want you to give them the call. What do you mean the call? I've never heard the call. He goes, just give them the call. I said, you mean like inviting people to come to know Jesus as their Savior? He goes, yeah, that's what it is, the call. I go, okay. I said, I do that all the time anyway. I can do that, Jeff. But then I had his mom's funeral not a few years later, Marion, who used to come here. And I know Charlie would always make sure that Marion had her hearing aids, that she could hear the message as she'd come. There's one of those things that are available here at the church. And Marion loved cats. She had her own cat. And I'm not a cat guy. But when I go see her, I said, Marion, I'm coming to see you, not the cat. And she ended up loving cats her whole life. I think of Dave Convey, one of the first times we're here at church. You guys do something here that's foreign to me. There's a part of the service at that time, it was like, okay, now greet everyone and say hi to everyone who's here. Turn around, the person behind you, the one in front of you, next to you, side of you type of thing. Well, I know that Dave Convey and Jan Convey sat in the front, well, kind of where you're at now, probably. And we sat behind you a couple pews. And it was Dave Convey that came up and he pointed at me one Sunday. He goes, I want you to be our next pastor. I go, Dave, I want what God wants for this church. I'm not here to be a pastor. He goes, I want you to be my pastor. And I said, well, whatever God wants, we will see what happens with that. So I ended up coming to be pastor. And from then on, I called Dave the prophet. He had it right. But I miss Dave because I think of the times in the nursing home where Sharon brought her flute and played a lot of Christmas songs by her flute. And Dave would listen in the chair. And after every song, he'd kind of go like, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He goes, play me another one. And Sharon goes, well, okay, I can do one more. And then she ran out of songs, but he was still there going like, play another one. Hallelujah. And it wasn't much long after that he died in the nursing home at Hilltop. I think of Skip Hughes. Met him at, the first time was at men's breakfast. And I did not know this, but he did have hair at one time. He came, he was balder than Yul Brynner. But did you know that Skip and Colette loved a square dance? And we had a hayride out at Jack and Lynn Johnson's place. And of all things, it turned out that Skip wanted to be a caller in square dancing and teach people how to square dance out there at his farm. And I guess they traveled all around, and he was known as a caller of how to do what a caller does in square dancing. Do-si-do and do-si-do and those kind of things. I didn't know that about Skip. Kate and Vern Hansen. Kate went first. Vern knew what it was like to hit the century mark, 100 years old. And he loved to do things with puzzles and with crocheting and embroidering type of things for the church. He's a wonderful man. But he also realized that, you know, once you turn 100, it's no big deal, he says, because all your friends and people you know are dead. They're gone. So why do you want to reach to be 100? But he did. Walt Meyer, Mr. Ice Cream, and who'd always, Cheryl and Walt, when they'd head south for the winter, they'd stop in Lamar's, because what would you find in Lamar's? Blue Bunny Ice Cream Shop. And Cheryl would text and call us saying, guess where we are? We're on our way to Arizona. I said, you're going to Arizona? How far are you? He goes, well, we stopped in Lamar's because Walt had to get some ice cream. I go, okay, gotcha. But I always do that every time they left to go south to Arizona. Chuck Teelber, he was one-of-a-kind guy. When he first came in, he'd look at these lights. This was the time that the China air balloon spy thing was going on. He goes, looks like they're from China. And stopping over at his place, we put a puzzle together, a tough puzzle. And he was always saying, where's this eagle's head at? We couldn't find the eagle's head. We should be an easy one to find. Could never find it, but he finally did. And not much later did he die. Elmer Lubinus, men's breakfast, tall, kind, quiet guy. I was afraid of Elmer. Because I knew he was always thinking about something, and I could never figure out what he was thinking about, Norma. Maybe you did, you know? But I really appreciated Elmer. He was always a blessing to be with, even when he heard the news that there's nothing more the doctors could do for him. And they put him in the room here at Spirit Lake. It was the last place where you go. It's where you go and die. Hospice. And he just took it as part of life. That's what happens. But he loves Jesus. He loved the Lord. So did Dave Convey. A lot of these guys, I'm not done here yet, but there's some women that I think of too, that like Enid Cresswell. Remember her? She'd always sit back there. Kind of where Denny and Lynn are. Enid, which I found out, I didn't know this, but she left a book on my desk in the church office for the pastor. The name of the book she left on that on my desk there is called I Refuse to Lead a Dying Church. That's the name of the book. Made in the 70s. It was an older book. I didn't find out till later on that she had put it there. And I just told her, I said, I've skimmed through it. I said, and I've read some things. I said, it's right on. And I said, I don't want Harbor of Joy to die either. But she's always had a wonderful smile on her face and words of encouragement, and she always would give me a hug. You know how much I like hugs. I like them a lot better now than I did when I came, put it that way. Karen Weber, she loved the outside of the church. She loved flowers. She loved the pots. She loved new shrubs and new trees. And she was always just very tickled to be able to see different things outside. And she just always wanted to help that way. And she did. She lived right next door to Denny, didn't she? Yeah. Went over there a few times when she was in bed. I couldn't believe that she was dying. And she did. But she's also a big Chicago Cubs fan. I think Keith was too. Then there's Dwayne Anderson. Probably the first people I met when we came here to Harbor of Joy was Vicky and Dwayne Anderson and Sydney. And after the first service, Vicky and Dwayne were just, well, Dwayne was in a wheelchair when he came. He had ALS. And Vicky was new, well, they're kind of new here, but he kind of came back closer to home. He graduated. I don't know if, Vicky, did he graduate from Spirit Lake? Yeah. Okay. Because I know Millie was from Armstrong. Yeah. His mom, yeah. But I think of Dwayne. I said I would meet with him once a week. I'd come and see him once a week. But I did that most of the time. But he's just such a great guy. In a wheelchair. And I said, Dwayne, I have no idea what to say to you. I don't even know how to pray for you. But I know what you have is not good. And he says, well, I got a book that I think it pretty much tells you what's going to happen. And so he gave me a book. The title is, We Know How This Ends. It was very helpful. I'd recommend it to anyone that sometime you need to read this book because you might come across someone who's got ALS. There's another name for ALS. What is it, Brian? Lou Gehrig's disease, yeah. You just lose muscles. Your muscles and the strength. And so, Vicki, I want to thank you because I learned a new word called charcuterie. Never even knew what one was until you explained it to me and made it happen. Charcuterie. Anybody here that does not know what charcuterie means? See, I'm the only one. I know it now, though, too. A charcuterie board. Yet Orville Belkin, who was a great fisherman. I didn't know this. I think he could outfish Scott Barry. Or maybe he learned a lot from Orville. Did you, Scott? You know? But Orville, you ever went to his house, you would see trophies of him winning fishing tournaments. I was just amazed. I couldn't believe how many fishing poles this guy had. He had over, I don't know how many there. It was safe to say over 30. It's probably even more than that. And he'd give poles away to people or kids or whatever it was. And he was well known in the area. But he died, and so did his son-in-law. Orville, by the way, is Bonnie's husband. And Bonnie is here. And then Idella Hisby. The hugs of love that she gave and words of just, she was just a nice, nice person. And she wouldn't want to leave the church after Sunday morning unless she could give the pastor a hug and say that she loves him. So I received that from her many times. But the greatest thing, I think, is I got to meet Doug, her husband, who's here today. And the last one I think of is Becky Berg. Talk about a woman who had patience and who was always very pleasant and had a smile on her face. As I would say, Becky, can't believe you're still here. You know, after church, it was after the fellowship was going on and having people having coffee, and she's kind of just smiling, going like, I'm used to this. You know. So those are some of the things that we think of once upon a time. At least that came to my mind. There's many others here that I didn't mention as well. But once upon a time, Jacob and Esau, they eventually, that's where we get to this portion of scripture, eventually they came around after many years of being apart because of the birthright. They became good friends again. And you can read about it in Genesis. Because what we find is that after the years of separation, that whole sting of what happened with the birthright and being deceived by Jacob and getting it and how he went about it to get it, we find that love between the two of them was strengthened over the years. And love won out. Love won between the two of them. It took a long time. But it eventually did that. So to my friends here, in closing, which I'm going, it's almost 10:30 here, sorry about that. But to my friends who are still alive and are here today, and who aren't here today, I will say that you'll find yourself sometime in the future where you will say, I once knew a pastor from North Dakota. Once upon a time, I knew a pastor from North Dakota. I just want you to know that I will still I will still be your friend in the days ahead, but it will be different. That's just the way it is. I will always be your friend, and may it never happen. I don't ever want to hear this from anybody that you said once upon a time, I love Jesus. I want you to be able to say, I love Jesus Christ still because he first loved me and he lives in my heart. The last thing I want to say is just Amy Johnson, where are you? There you are. In my eyes, you're still the best. Just want you to know that. And just thanks. I know you're done today too, but just thanks for the times we've had together and for you sticking on, holding on till today to be my secretary as well. I won't forget that. So thank you very much. And I want to thank every one of you, too, for your love and your prayers and your words of encouragement, your cards, over the past 6 years. And I end with this. To God be the glory. Amen. So with that, let's pray, shall we? Let's just pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us stand, if you're able to stand, as we recite the Apostles' Creed together today. And then there will be a song. And then I'll give the benediction, and we're done. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, and the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.